vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's John 15, verse 5. And this verse is kind of right in the middle of John 15. And so we're going to get our Bibles open now, and Claire's going to come and read John 15 to us. If you need a Bible, there's stewards poised to come bring one. But it's John 15. I don't have a page number. Do you have a page number, Claire? 1,083. So Claire's going to read that to us, and then Nathan's going to come and speak to us.
John 15, 1-17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other.
Good evening. Please keep that open in front of you. Let's pray and let's ask for God's help as we come back to this portion of John's Gospel this evening. Gracious God, we thank you for what a handful of us may have learned already this morning about our verse for the year. But Lord, as we come back to this portion of Jesus' teaching tonight, please would you help us to grasp more of what it means to be fruitful, and more of what it will take for us to be fruitful. Father, we long, please, to be a fruitful church this year, to be fruitful followers of Jesus. And so, Father, please help us as we consider these words of Jesus together again this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I asked the question this morning, and I'll ask again this evening. I hope as we enter 2023 that one of your desires as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be fruitful. I guess many of us will understand what we mean by that language. But I hope that as you enter a new year, one of your desires is that you want to see Christ-like character forming in you. I presume that's what you'd like for the year ahead, that by the end of 2023, you'd like your life to look a little bit more like Jesus's. Perhaps there's areas of life where you're battling with sin, perhaps those anger sins pop out, or other sins that you've got going on in your world, and you'd love to see those put to death and Christ formed in you a bit more. Perhaps there's you want to see the fruit this year of other people around you saved. We'd love to see more people baptized in our church, wouldn't we? Because they've come to trust the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you want to see the fruit this year of people growing to know Jesus better. That's a fruit of the Christian life, growing to know him. Perhaps you want to see the fruit of your prayers prayed and answered. And perhaps you want to see the fruit this year of joy, love, peace. My hope is that those things grow in me, on me. And my hope is that those things grow in us as a church. And in our verse for the year this year, John 15, verse 5, Jesus gets to the heart of how we grow that kind of fruit. This is what we were thinking about together this morning. How do we grow that kind of fruit? We remain in Jesus. It's a very simple command. You see it right there. If you remain in me. You back up a verse, John 15, verse 4. Jesus commands it of disciples. As he returns to heaven, he says to disciples, remain in me. How will we become fruitful? Jesus says, you will bear much fruit if you remain in me. And this morning I sought to show, and I've left it up just in case you weren't here this morning, but I sought to show what remaining in Jesus looks like and why we should remain in Jesus. So this morning we thought together that remaining in Jesus means to have a permanent and a continual connection to him. Sometimes we call that a union with Christ, a communion with Christ, that we trust him. We trust him for life. For eternal life, he is the vine, he is the way that we know God, he is our access to God, and as we're grafted into him, we depend on him for eternal life. And he's also the one we depend on for fruit. As we trust him and obey him, we see his fruit growing in our lives. Remaining in Jesus, 2023, is a life, Jesus says, of trusting and obeying. Jesus says, keep my commands and you'll remain in my love. It's that package together. That's what it looks like to remain in him. That's where we put our energies and our efforts this year as a church. We want to remain in him. He says, apart from me, separated from me, if you choose to have nothing to do with me, you can do nothing. You can have no life and you can have no fruit. That's what Jesus says. It's very clear. It's very black and white, isn't it? And so fruitfulness is really an outworking, isn't it? It's an outworking, the Bible tells us, of our connection to the Lord Jesus. And so as a church family, we've got to be working at this union, this connection, this permanence in our relationship with Jesus, having a daily posture of trust and a daily active obedience, trust showing itself in our obedience. Now, what I want to try and do this evening for those of us that are gathered here, is just to kind of look a little bit more into Jesus's teaching about fruitfulness. Because I guess we've kind of got hold of that a little bit, that fruitfulness comes through remaining in Jesus. But Jesus, in the section around our verse, says a number of things about fruitfulness. And I just want to unpick those for us tonight. Here's the first thing I want us to see about fruitfulness, and it's this. Fruitfulness requires pruning. So if we're going to be fruitful Christians this year, Jesus tells us that the gardener has to get to work in our lives. He has to do some pruning. Look at verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Just walk through these verses with me. Verse 1, Jesus says that he is the vine. We thought about that this morning. He is the source of life. The sap, the life flows through him to the branches. But he calls his Father, God the Father, the gardener, the one who tends to the vine and to its branches. Jesus identifies for us two types of branches. You see that? The first branch is what? Let's have a bit of interaction, just in case we fall asleep on a Sunday night. What's the first branch? The first branch bears no fruit. Okay, so there's one type of branch. It bears no fruit. No grapes grow on this particular branch. And then the second branch, what's that one? Bears fruit. So you've got a branch that bears no fruit and a branch that bears some fruit. Now, the one that bears no fruit, what happens to that branch? Gets cut off. While the branch that bears some fruit, what happens to that one? It's pruned. Good. So we're going to work tonight. Okay, I'm going to keep you awake and alive, just in case you didn't get your caffeine before the service. Now, we've got two questions to answer then, haven't we? Well, who's the branch that bears no fruit? Because that sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? You've got someone that connected into Jesus, but is bearing no fruit. And I thought we said this morning that anyone, it's a promise, right? If you remain in Jesus, you will bear fruit. So what is this branch that's connected but bears no fruit? Well, at best, I think what John is showing us, what Jesus is teaching here, is that these are people like Judas Iscariot. Okay, so in the flow of John's gospel here, the branch that bears no fruit is Judas Iscariot, who has hung around with Jesus, who has all the outward appearance of being connected to Jesus. But what has he just done? He's just betrayed Jesus. He's walked off the scene of John's gospel and he's gone away. Now, what happens to someone like Judas, who has the appearance of being connected to Jesus, but actually isn't? Well, he's cut off. And that's what happens to someone like Judas Iscariot. We're being told here, not that Christians can lose their salvation, not true Christians, those connected to Jesus, we'll think about this later, but we're being told here that there is a group of people that can look like they're connected to Jesus, but they show they're not really connected because they bear no fruit. There's no trust, there's no obedience. So who are the branches that bear fruit? Well, that's the followers of the Lord Jesus, who are connected to him, who are living this lifestyle of trust and obedience. And when we're connected to Jesus, trusting in him and obeying him, we will bear fruit. But these branches, the branches, the Christians who are bearing fruit in their lives, go through a process. And that process is pruning. Now, you have to forgive me. I'm going to sound like I talk with some knowledge here, but I am rubbish at gardening. I'm rubbish at all things garden. But I've done some reading this week, and I now understand that pruning is the process of cutting back. It is the process of cutting at just the right place, at just the right time, at just the right angle sometimes, to allow a vine to become even more fruitful. In fact, I read this week that it takes some vineyards up to 2 or 3 years to train the pruners. So careful does this work need to be. So well does it need to be done. It can take 2 or 3 years to train someone to prune. Now, to the uneducated, like me, it simply looks like they're just cutting things off. They're cutting back. They're hacking away. Sometimes even great clusters of grapes they take away. And you think, what are you doing that for? That's a bunch of grapes. But the pruner know what they're doing. The pruners know what they're doing. They are cutting back. They're chopping here and there to make the vine more fruitful. It is careful. It is cutting work that leads to more fruit growing. And here we're being told by the Lord Jesus that God the Father is like an expert pruner. He is an expert gardener. What does the Father want for you this evening if you're a follower of Jesus? He wants you to grow maximum fruit. He's not satisfied with just some fruit. He wants you to bear much fruit. If you look at the text carefully, you'll notice there's a progression through the text, okay? Look at verse 2, it says they bear fruit, and then it prunes it so it will be even more fruitful. And then you move on to verse 5, and Jesus says you will bear much fruit. There's a progression in the Greek language of this fruitfulness in the life of a believer. The Father wants me to be as fruitful as we possibly can be. And he will do whatever it takes in our life for us to grow fruit. And how does he prune? How does God the Father do pruning work in your life? Let me give you two ways. One's from the text, one's from a bit wider. Here's the first thing. He does it through his word. One of the ways that he prunes us, cuts us, trims us back, changes us, is through his word. Look at verse 2 and 3. Again, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now have a look very carefully with me, will you, at verse 2. Because in verse 2, you notice by the word prunes, it's got a little footnote. Can you see that in your Bibles? It's got a little footnote, and it picks up on a word play. Sometimes word plays are lost in the English translation that exist in the original language. And the word play is this, that the word prunes sounds exactly the same in Greek as the word cleans. It is the same word. And so what we're being told here by the Lord Jesus is that pruning takes place through his word. You see that? He prunes, verse 2, and he cleans with his word, verse 3. It's the same idea. The Lord Jesus is the one that through his word has made us clean, his word that calls us to trust him, the one who died and who rose, and he's cleaned us up. He's pruned us so that we can be part of the branch, be fruitful. But the Lord Jesus goes on pruning. The Father prunes in our lives through the word, through the sanctifying word, through the word that is preached every week, through the word that you get open at home, I hope, through the word that you read in your small groups. The Father is carefully cutting back and pruning at just the right time and at right angles, and he's doing what is needed to make us fruitful people, to make us obedient people, to show us what we're doing wrong, to commend to us what we need to do. How does he prune? Through his words. If you've got a Bible, just flick over a page, John 17. Jesus prays this for his disciples. John 17, verse 17 says this, "Sanctify them," he prays. Do a good work in them. Make them fruitful. Make them like me by the truth. Your word is truth. Through the word of God, we're pruned. Sins are pointed out, confessed, and cut back in our lives. Through his word, we are moved forward in our likeness to the Lord Jesus. And friends, if you hang around this church long enough, you'll hear us banging on and on and on about the Bible. But we do that because we truly believe that it's the Bible that has the power of God to prune us and to clean us and to change us into fruitful people. Matthew Henry, a minister from the 1800s, captures this really well. Let me read you something he said. He said, "And even fruitful branches needed pruning." That's an interesting, even fruitful branches needed pruning. "For the best of the branches, the best Christians you can think of, have notions and passions and humors that require to be taken away, which Christ has promised to forward the sanctification of believers." He's promised that he will make us fruitful. They will be thankful for them. But listen to this. "The word of Christ is spoken to all believers, and there is a cleansing virtue in that word as it works grace and it works out corruption." Friends, please don't underestimate the importance of God's word in the work of God to prune us and to make us like Jesus. Are you making time for the word of God? The gardener can't prune if we're not taking the word in. If Jesus' words aren't remaining in us, how can the Father be pruning? See the importance of the Bible? If you want to be fruitful this year, we remain in Jesus, his words remain in us, but it is through those words that the Father is pruning. The other thing, the way that I just want to show you that the Father prunes is from a slightly wider context in the Bible, but he prunes with our circumstances. He prunes in our lives, makes us fruitful by the things that we go through. Listen to these words from Hebrews. Hebrews 12 says this, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us as we have respect, and we've respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness, we may be fruitful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, does it? But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness, fruitfulness, and peace for those who've been trained by it." Even through the hardships in our life, friends, the things that come into our lives, either through the brokenness of our world or through our own deliberate mistakes, those kind of things going on, God has the power to use those things to prune us, to make us fruitful, to cut back things in us that are stopping us from bearing fruit. And I want to say this evening, it's really important that we don't make the mistake of confusing pruning for cutting off. You see, sometimes we make that mistake as believers. When we're going through hard things, we think, oh, God's cutting me off. God's abandoned me. He's making me like one of those branches that's going to wither up and die. And we make that mistake, don't we? But actually, we've got to realize that those who belong to him, those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, will never be cut off. Look, if you're not convinced of that, just come back a couple of pages. John chapter 6 and verse 39. You know, you've got to hear these promises. Christians remaining in the Lord Jesus, hear this promise. John 6 verse 39 says this. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. He's not going to lose you. If you're remaining in him and him in you, you can't be lost. Or John chapter 10, just over the page, verse 28. What does it say? It says there, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. These are the promises of Jesus. You cannot be lost if you're remaining in Jesus and he in you. And so when hard things come into our life and God is at work in our life through pruning, that is not cutting off, that is making us fruitful. He is doing it lovingly because he wants you to bear the most fruit that you can. Might the same be true for the circumstances we're going through? Just knowing that the Father can use hard things in our lives to make us fruitful, to make us like Christ. Might that change the way we look at hard things happening to us in 2023? And one writer helpfully puts it like this, the difficulty you're going through right now may well be an act of kindness on God's part. He loves you, and he is shaping you into something more than you are now. Shaping takes a sharp blade and it produces pain, but it's a reminder of God's love and commitment to you. Discipline bears fruit because God will not stop until we do. As we remain in Jesus this year, fruitfulness, if we want to be fruitful, you've got to expect a bit of pruning. And pruning can happen through the word. And God can be pruning through our circumstances as hard and as painful as they may be. So fruitful Christians require pruning. Good. Are you still alive? You want to go for a bit more? Second, fruitful Christians, fruitfulness is proving. Sorry, I'm going to go for some P's tonight. You know me, like a bit of alliteration. Here we go. Fruitfulness is proving. There's something else Jesus tells us about bearing fruit in our lives. Look at verse 8. Bearing fruit, he says, is to my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory, verse 8, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus tells us that bearing fruit, so these things that will grow in our lives as we remain in Jesus, the fruits of obedience and joy and Christ-like character and seeing others come to things, these things put God's goodness on display. But actually, we're also told here that these things that glorify God, look at verse 8, what does it say? They show us to be Jesus' disciples. They put it on display. So imagine that, I stood here tonight and I said, oh, you should see, I am amazing at juggling. And you're like sitting there thinking, well, he might be, he might not be, I don't know. And the way that you'd know, wouldn't it, if I proved it to you, if I showed you, if I brought out 10 juggling balls and I did something amazing like this, and they're all kind of in the air and they're going round and round and round, you'd say, well, he's proved it. He's shown what is true. And in the same way, fruitfulness in our lives, the fruit that comes from remaining in the Lord Jesus Christ, that daily trust and that daily obedience, shows, it proves, it demonstrates that we truly are connected to Jesus. Now, who does it prove that to? That's the question, isn't it? Who's it showing that you're a disciple? Well, I want to think about two directions, an outside direction and an inside direction. It proves to the world and it proves to ourselves. There's two directions. The first of all, it proves to the world. The world looks on at your life. I don't know what your Monday morning will look like or your week, but I suspect that at some points this week, you will mix with lots of different people. And as a disciple of Jesus, as someone connected to Jesus, lots of people will be looking into your life. Work colleagues, fellow pupils at school, friends, people you might drop past a cup of tea for, people you go shopping with and you see every week in the same shop, in the same place, people you sit on a train carriage with. People look on into your life. And what do they see? What they see is the fruit that is growing on your tree, on you. And our verse for the year last year reminded us that we're to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And he says that by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. That the fruit that grows on us shows the world that we belong to Jesus. As Jesus' life and his love flows in us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that then flows out to the world. And they see that we belong to Jesus. So it shows the world that we're the disciples of Jesus. But I also want to say that it shows us. It's an inside thing as well. It shows you. As you grow the fruit in your life of following Jesus, the fruit that comes from remaining connected to him, it brings us assurance that we really do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you struggling, perhaps, with knowing that you're really a disciple? Do you go through those phases of thinking, I'm not sure I'm really a disciple, I don't know. Maybe you're helping somebody who's going through that kind of struggle. It's a common struggle. I want to say that as a pastor, I help lots of people who are struggling with knowing, am I really a Christian? And if you're struggling with that, or you are helping someone who's struggling with that, then first and foremost, you have to take that person to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's our hope. Remain in me, Jesus says. But along the way, you might also take them to the fruit that is growing them in their lives. The fruit of belonging to Jesus. And say, hey, look, this is happening in your life. And that would only be happening if you're remaining to Jesus. So fruitfulness is proving. It proves that we are disciples of Jesus. So it proves to the world, it proves to ourselves. Here's the final thing, and then we'll wrap it up. Fruitfulness, Jesus says, is our purpose. Fruitfulness is our purpose. Look at verse 16. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Fruitfulness is not an optional extra, okay, as Christians. It's not like going to buy a used car and you say, oh, I'd like one with heated seats and electric windows. And, you pick your options, and then you kind of take the bits you want and leave the bits behind. And we don't do that with the Christian life, okay? Fruitfulness is not, I'd quite like to be a fruitful Christian, I'm not so keen on that. But you don't leave it behind. It's actually part of our purpose. Look at what we're told here. For this reason, he says, I chose you. One of the wonderful things about being a Christian is that we have been selected, picked, shown grace by God. Now, I know that's a truth that sometimes kind of makes people go, oh, you know, isn't that unfair and all these things. But if you're sitting here tonight and you're trusting the Lord Jesus, that is meant to give you deep assurance. You've been picked by God. How good is that? How kind is that? But why has he picked you? Look carefully at the verse. Why verse 16? I've appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. I think in verse 5, our verse for the year, when he says, you will bear much fruit, he's talking about all the fruits, you know, the fruit of anything from being connected with Jesus. I think by the time you get to verse 16, he's narrowed us down onto a particular type of fruit that Christians grow, and that is the fruit of seeing other people become Christians. And he's saying to us, I've appointed you for this purpose. I've called you out of darkness into light that you might declare the praises of him who called you, that we might declare the praises in this world of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. And you notice there that it says, bear fruit that will last in verse 16. That's the same phrase, fruit that will remain. I've appointed you so that you might go and tell other people who might then trust and obey Jesus and remain in him and bear that fruit. As others come to trust Jesus, they become fruit that lasts. Fruitfulness, being part of Jesus' mission, is our purpose. Now, that means that Jesus is behind what we're doing as a church. Jesus is behind what we're doing when you try and pluck up the courage to tell a friend about the Lord Jesus. Jesus is behind what we're doing when we get out on the streets here in Enfield Town. Jesus has appointed us for that very purpose of telling others about him. And that's why he says you can expect to see prayers answered, because this is his purpose for us. Fruitfulness is our purpose, our God-given commission to be on a fruity mission. There you go, there's a little rhyme for you. Our God-given commission to be on a fruity mission. There you go, that's waking some of you up, isn't it? Fruity? What's he talking about? It's important. Friends, it's really important not to forget that, that he's appointed us for that purpose. He's appointed us to go and bear fruit, especially when it feels like we are in a dry season. I think in a country, we're in a dry season. We don't see thousands of people turning to Christ, do we? We don't see great bunches of grapes growing on trees. There are not people queuing to get into church. You don't fight for your seat when you come to church. We may be in a season of little fruit, but that doesn't negate the fact that God's purpose for his people is to be on this mission and to bear fruit, to bear much fruit, to see people saved. And so let's faithfully keep going, understanding that fruitfulness is his purpose for his people. So as we enter 2023, may it be truly a fruitful year. Our verse for the year, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's Jesus telling us that he is the source of life. And without him, if you're not connected to him, you have no life, no eternal life. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will display the fruit of anything that comes from being connected to Jesus. But apart from him, we can do nothing. But as we want to grow that fruit, as we look to grow that fruit, as we remain in Jesus, expect fruitfulness to take pruning in our lives. And don't mistake pruning for cutting off. Pruning is the loving work of our Father. And if the fruit appears in your life, remember that that fruit is proving. Take the assurance of fruit in your life. And remember that that fruitfulness is our purpose. It's what God's called us for, and it's what he's called us to. And so he's with us. It's his purpose to bear fruit, to see people saved. And so let's keep going. Let's not lose heart in together. Let's pray about those things, and then we'll sing a song. Our Father in heaven, we long to be fruitful this year as we remain in Jesus. Father, we believe that we can do nothing apart from him. We have no life, no eternal life without him. We can bear no fruit without him. And so, loving Father, please would you prune us. And please help us to be the people of your word, that your word might remain in us and prune us back. Please help us to endure hardship as pruning, as discipline that will produce in us a harvest of righteousness, making us fruitful this year, producing that fruit of change and joy and obedience. Lovingly assure us with the fruit that you grow in our lives. May we lovingly assure one another as we see the fruit that grows in one another through remaining in Christ. And please would you lovingly use us to reach others with the good news of Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen.